of a bigger picture of purpose and meaning. For many, life now consists in a mindless routine almost of getting up, working from home, making dinner, watching the telly, then going to bed, only to be followed the next day by exactly the same, and then the next day, and then the next day. There's such a thing as good routine, and then there's the kind of routine that drives you crazy. That's COVID lockdown for you. One day merges into another, and it's easy to lose the big picture of our purpose in life. Perhaps it's because we've had too much time doing the same thing over and over and over again, or perhaps because of the lack of social interaction, we've got into our own heads and become almost wholly self-absorbed, rather like Narcissus. We've fallen in love with our own reflection. Well, love or loathing, you choose. Well, this evening, I want to try and shake us out of that mindless routine and to remind you of something utterly incredible. God has a purpose for you. That contrary to what you might think, there is a meaning to your life, and that you have an opportunity this week to engage with the most important and wonderful of all tasks, namely, to serve God by living according to his purpose for you, which is to point to Jesus Christ in everything you think, in everything you say, and in everything you do. Let me say that again, because it's going to form the central pillar of everything I want to talk to you about this evening. Despite the lockdown, you have an opportunity to engage with the most important and wonderful of all tasks, to serve God by living according to his purpose for you, which is to point to Jesus Christ in everything you say, in everything you think, and in everything you do. In Acts 13, the Apostle Paul is preaching in the synagogue in Pisidian Antioch, modern-day southwestern Turkey. And in verse 36, he speaks these words, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption." King David, this massive man of faith, he served God's purpose in his generation, and we have an incredible opportunity to do the same today. Don't become mindlessly numb. Worse still, don't become a narcissist. Rather, engage with the purpose God has for you, which is to point to Jesus Christ in everything you think, in everything you say, and in everything you do. Well, let me suggest that we approach this topic according to three statements this evening. First, God's purpose is bigger than you. Second, God's purpose involves you. And third, God's purpose is for you to point to Jesus. First of all, then, God's purpose is bigger than you. Bigger than you. Paul says, David served the purpose of God in his own generation. I'm not sure why it should be, but one of the most popular songs at funerals is Frank Sinatra's "I Did It My Way." It's an old song, but had it been around in 1000 BC Israel, David would not have allowed that song at his funeral. Because the truth is that he devoted his life to doing things God's way, not his own. Or better still, doing God's things God's way. And of course, there were times he got it dead wrong, but the general tenor of his life was one of serving God's purposes in his generation. Now, he was a mighty king, and you might have thought this would have filled him with self-importance. But he devoted himself to serving a purpose bigger than his own, the purpose of God. He learned through bitter experience not to do his own thing in his own way, but rather to serve the purpose of God in his generation. And the point is this for all of us. There is no greater purpose than that of God. However great, however prominent, however important we are in this world, our purposes are as nothing compared to that of God. The purposes of presidents and prime ministers and kings, they must bow down before the higher purpose of God. We need to drive this truth into our heads and absorb it in our hearts, especially in these days of pandemic lockdown. God has a purpose, and it's far bigger than us. Or to put it another way, whatever God's purpose in this all is, it's bigger than us. Bigger than us. Maybe you feel rather like a hamster in a cage. Eat, drink, sleep, tire yourself out on a wheel, going nowhere but expending lots of sweat getting there. Is there a meaning to it all? You're beginning to lose hope, perhaps. Yes, but as a Christian, you need to know that God has a purpose in all this, and it's bigger than us. It's a purpose which, according to the Apostle Paul, God has designed since before the creation of the world. And because it was designed by God, it is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably wise, holy, and loving. And you're part of that purpose, as we're going to see in the next point. You're part of it. But so was King David, who lived 3,000 years ago, and so was the Apostle Paul, who lived 2,000 years ago. You're part of something very much bigger than you, something eternally exciting and infinitely inspiring. You're part of the purpose of God. As we are ancestors, your father and your mother, your grandparents, and all those who went before you, as will be your descendants, your children, your grandchildren, and all who will come after. You might feel as if your mindless routine means nothing. But when you're doing another day's ironing or clearing away another day's dishes, remember this, you're part of the purpose of God, something way bigger than yourself. You're part of something very much bigger than you. Because not only as we look behind and ahead do we see God's people serving God's purpose in their own generations, but we see millions on billions of Christians in our world today who are living out God's purpose where they are. They're not all in Glasgow. In fact, just a tiny, tiny proportion are. Most are in other parts, living and working in the vast cities of China, subsistence farming in sub-Saharan Africa, working in sweatshops in Latin America. We might have the luxury of being safe in our own homes, but many of them do not. However, both they and us join together in serving something bigger than any one of us, namely, the eternally wise and loving purpose of God. And so not only do we look behind at those who came before us and ahead at those who will come after us, not only do we look around us at the millions of Christians living faithfully for Christ in our world today, but we look up and we join with the vast heavenly host of unnumbered angels as they too serve God's purpose in their generation. They sing praises. They serve him gladly. And together they join with us as we serve his purpose. Back at the beginning of 1997, whether you were part of it or not, the United Kingdom was swept by a new movement. Its figurehead was a young, handsome, charismatic leader called Tony Blair, and it was called New Labour. Its rhythm sounded out, "Things can only get better." For any who were involved in New Labour politics at the time, you had the feeling that you were part of something far bigger than yourself, something that would be victorious over all its competitors. For those who went to New Labour conferences, there was a spirit of enthusiasm and opportunism. Every speech was met by a chorus of cheers, and people genuinely felt that the UK was on the cusp of an altogether new kind of politics? Well, the truth is that New Labour is yesterday's news. But the purposes of God will never grow old. We're part of a movement, you know, which is growing faster today than at any time in history. It's composed of our ancestors and our descendants, billions of Christians who are alive today, and the hosts of heaven. Together, as we listen to God through his word, surely even though we're confined to our humdrum routines, we can exult. We are not alone. We serve the greatest of purposes, not our own, no, but that of our loving Heavenly Father. This is not a time for despair, nor for boredom, and certainly not for self-absorbed narcissism. It's a time for cheer, for optimism and enthusiasm for our God and his glorious purposes, which are most definitely bigger than any one of us. God's purpose is bigger than you. Second, God's purpose involves you. It involves you. And don't you find it amazing that an infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God chooses to involve us in his purpose? Isn't it simply mind-blowing to think that though we're so finite, so mortal, and so changeable, he chooses to fulfill his purposes through us? Well, think back to the life of King David, a boy whom God took from obscurity and raised to the most powerful throne in the world of the day. Shepherd and protector of his people, David won battles for them, established the worship of God among them, and was the first of a dynasty of kings over them. Think back to all you know about David. Isn't it remarkable that God chose to fulfill his purposes through a shepherd boy called David? Because remember his sin with Bathsheba? Remember his lies and the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, the Hittite? No one knew David better than God did. The God who, according to David, searched me and knew me. But God loved David and chose to fulfill his eternally wise purposes through him. And so we read, David served God's purpose in his own generation. Back then in 1000 BC Israel, God worked through David. He was God's man for that time. You don't also find it amazing that God could have chosen to fulfill his purposes through the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. He had been a zealous hypocrite and had prided himself on being the terrifying destroyer of the early church. He was willing to travel hundreds of miles through the dangerous landscapes of the Middle East just to track down and kill a few more Christians. But with such love and grace, God tracked him down and God changed him. And now here he is in Acts 13, preaching the very faith he had previously tried to exterminate. Again, in the first century Roman world, God worked through Paul. He was God's man for that time. Isn't it amazing that God can choose to fulfill his eternally loving and wise purposes through you and through me? He knew David, and he knows us. To use the language of the Authorized Version, he knows the naughtiness of our hearts, our tendencies toward unfaithfulness, fear, and cowardice. But he chooses to work through us, to involve us in the great purpose of his eternally wise counsel. We're so limited, but the unlimited one chooses to use us. We're so weak, but the Mighty One chooses to use us. We're so faithless, but the Faithful One chooses to use us. We're so sinful, but the Holy One chooses to use us. By the decree of his mouth, his will is that we shall be the instruments by which and through which he fulfills his eternally wise and infinitely loving purposes. How great our Divine Master. But then you say to me, but Colin, I'm stuck in the house all day. I see no one. I feel like that hamster on a wheel. How can I possibly fulfill the purpose of God in this situation? Surely this is all too big for me. And yes, we're stuck doing another day's washing up when we'd really rather be out and about serving God. Maybe that's the way we think. Or we're doing the ironing while watching a Zoom service, whilst we'd really rather be at the physical church. Are you frustrated? Are you bored? Of course, but in what is a touch of divinely inspired genius, Paul says of David, David served God in his own generation. God handed David a lifetime, and David served God with it. Yes, it was 1000 BC Israel, but David played the hand God gave him. And God handed the Apostle Paul a lifetime, and Paul served God with it. And yes, it was the first century AD, but Paul played the hand God gave him. They served God in their own generations. By the time Paul spoke these words in Acts 13, David had been dead for 1,000 years. And as I'm speaking this evening, Paul's been dead for 2,000. But God has handed each one of us a lifetime, and we're called to serve God with it. David did not live in days of COVID pandemic. He had giants to fight, enemies to subdue, and a kingdom to rule. These were the situations God gave him, and he served God to the best of his ability with them. Paul didn't live in days of COVID pandemic. He had a mission to manage, opposition to overcome, and a martyrdom to endure. These were the situations God gave him, and he served God with them. They served God in their own generation. Now, the question is not whether we can serve God by fighting Goliath, like David did, but whether we can serve God by patiently enduring this lockdown. The question for us is not whether our faith can survive a shipwreck, as Paul did on two occasions, but whether we can serve God by cheerfully loving our families and friends during this pandemic. God is not calling you tonight to fight a giant, and he's not calling any one of us to cling to the flotsam and jetsam of a shipwreck. God is calling us to serve his purpose at this time, in these places, in these circumstances he has placed in our way, to play the hand he's given us. Yes, even these days, where we think that if we see one more dirty dish in our sinks, we're going to go crazy, or if we hear our kids shouting at each other just one more time, we're going to go mad. This is the generation in which we live, and it's here and it's now God is calling us to serve his purpose. And the only question for us, the only question is this: just as David was God's man for his day, Paul was God's man for his, will you be God's man, will you be God's woman for today, for this generation? You see, this isn't a time for despair or for self-absorption. This isn't a time to renew our dedication to serving the purpose of God in this COVID-afflicted generation. It's time for us to have a fresh resolve to engage in something far bigger than any of us, the eternal purpose of God. As one of our elders often says to me, you in your small corner, me in mine. Or to put it Paul's way, serving God in our generation. God's purpose is bigger than you. and God's purpose involves you. But third and lastly this evening, God's purpose is for you to point to Jesus. God's purpose is for you to point to Jesus. Everything I've said so far is true. It's nothing but the truth. But it's not the whole truth, because I've not yet told anyone what God's eternal purpose, that purpose which is bigger than any one of us, that purpose for which he created us and redeemed us and placed us in this generation to serve him, actually is. On the one hand, I guess we could generalize it and say from the text itself that our purpose is to serve God. David served God in his own generation. And that is, in and of itself, a very important topic. Right now, we all want to be masters of our own destiny, our timetables, our plans for summer holidays, our social contacts, our arrangements. We all do. God has not called us to be masters, but to be servants. We've got to remember that when we're feeling rather sorry for ourselves. God has called us not to be masters, but to be his servants in this generation. But the question still remains, what is the purpose of God we are to serve in this generation? What is the purpose of God we are to serve in this generation? In what ways did David, according to this text, serve the purpose of God in his generation? Well, tragically ironic as it may seem to be, David served the purpose of God by dying and his body seeing corruption. He served the purpose of God by dying and his body seeing corruption. From this verse, David served God's purposes in his own generation by dying and his body decomposing, because in so doing, according to verse 37, David's death and the natural process of decomposition pointed to the Jesus who also would die, but whose body would not see corruption. To the Jesus who died on the cross, but would on the third day be raised to new life. Now, the argument Paul engages with here is rather complicated. I would take too much time to explain right now, but the point is this. David served the purpose of God in his generation by pointing to Jesus. That's the purpose of God David served, by life and by death, pointing to Jesus. He didn't know it, but even his death and the corruption of his body was being used to contrast with the divine Son of Man, the Messiah of God, who also would die, but on the third day would rise from the grave. God's purpose for David was that in his generation, he'd point to Jesus. And the same was true for the Apostle Paul, who once said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Having met with the risen Jesus and been transformed, Paul knew that God's purpose for him was to devote his life to pointing others to Jesus. Even those sufferings he endured, according to 2 Corinthians 4, served as signs of the life of God within him, the treasure in jars of clay. Even the thorn in the flesh served to point him and others to the sufficiency of the grace of the heavenly Christ. So then, what is the purpose of God we are to serve in this generation? The eternal purpose of God for which we were created, redeemed, and placed into the situations we are right now, these COVID lockdown days. It is most certainly not to give in to monotony, to give in to despair, or to rise to the naughtiness of narcissism or self-absorption. Rather, it is to point to Jesus Christ as the risen Saviour and Lord. That's God's purpose for us right now, during these days of COVID lockdown and restrictions. That was the purpose of all who went before us, stretching right back to the very beginning of the human race, including our fathers and our mothers. That's the purpose of the whole church on earth, those billions of Christians all over the world. That's the purpose of the heavenly host, that as one together we point to Jesus Christ as risen Savior and reigning Lord. God's not calling you to point to Jesus by defeating the giant Goliath, as it was for David. He's not calling you to point to Jesus by your martyrdom, as he did Paul. He's calling you to point to Jesus in this generation, at this time. As the elder says, you in your small corner and me in mine. That's always been God's purpose. Since before the foundation of the universe, that all he would create would give glory to his Son. That the universe would act, as Calvin says, as the theatre of the grace of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? The answer is right here in Acts 13:36. Do everything you can in this generation to live for the glory of Jesus and to point yourself and others to the saving power of our Lord. Well, what will this mean in practical terms? Time doesn't permit us to go into these areas, but let me suggest that at the very least, it means persevering in faith through the pandemic, of no giving up, of fixing our hope on the risen Christ, of being patient with him, with ourselves and with others, of consciously rejecting despair and intentionally embracing joy, of making fresh strides in our understanding and application of the gospel, in deepening our relationship with God and developing positive habits of devotion, of using the resources we would have spent in other areas for the good of God's gospel and of his church, of reaching out to other Christians, and of reaching out to those who are not yet Christians to point both to Jesus. You see, despite the lockdown, you have an opportunity to engage with the most important of all tasks, namely to serve God by living according to his purpose for you, which is to point to Jesus Christ in everything you think, in everything you say, and in everything you do. Use your imagination and be governed by God's voice through his word. Hold on to your faith. Reject despair and embrace joy, pointing others to Jesus. Join with the church universal, past, present, and future. Join with the heavenly angels, and yes, even with the greater purpose of God the Father, and serve his purpose in our generation, which is to point to Jesus. David did it. Paul did it. Your ancestors did it. Your descendants will do it. But will you do it?